And we are back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. Well, the New York Times article, currently the most shared one of the paper, declares the question, can you call a 9-year-old a psychopath? The answer may, in fact, be yes, and while research in the area is limited, one man that knows more about it than almost anyone else is Dr. Dan Washbush, a researcher at Florida International University. He's been studying children with behavioral problems for over 10 years. He joins us now. Dan, thank you for joining us here on 1320 WILS.
Thanks for inviting me.
So have you watched the show Dexter on Showtime about this socially functional psychopathic serial killer? Would you say that that is, in fact, a realistic portrayal of these personalities?
Well, I saw about 2 episodes, and then it went off Netflix, so I haven't seen any more than that.
They seem to yank those pretty quick. Well,
yes.
Now, let me ask you, you've certainly spent many years studying children with behavioral problems, but these particular kids are described as callous, unemotional, or CU. Your study now into their behaviors is apparently the first of its kind. Is there some kind of a professional resistance in your field to acknowledging that children can, in fact, be psychopaths?
Yeah, I think it's a bit overblown to say that kids are psychopaths. So the confusion comes from the fact that this area of research had its roots in the adult literature on psychopathy. And so researchers like myself and Paul Frick and others said, well, if this is the end point, where do these traits have their roots? So I don't think anybody's saying that they're psychopaths, although I know the article seemed to imply that. I think most of us are very careful to say that this is something that comes out of that literature, but there's a big difference between the adult endpoint and then its starting points when you're a child.
So is the term that's frequently used then this callous, unemotional child?
That's right, yep.
CU. So tell me, when you compare the types of misbehaviors you see out of CU children as compared to those that have ADHD and other behavioral problems, what is the distinct difference?
Yeah, it's a very good question. So the typical presentation of a kid with ADHD and conduct problems is they have trouble acting without thinking. So they'll maybe they'll perceive provocation or perceive teasing from a peer, and they'll kind of lose their temper and they'll act out, or they'll get up and run around without thinking about what they're doing. Now, kids with CU traits seem to do some of that, particularly the hot-blooded kind of lose their temper and strike out. But the difference is they also have antisocial behaviors that they use for what are called cold-blooded reasons. In other words, they're doing it in a very considered, non-impulsive way. It's almost as if they say, another child on the playground has that toy that I want, and I'm perfectly fine with going over there and pushing them over if it means that I get my toy. Whereas most kids won't do that beyond, you know, age 2 or so.
What about the parents of these children? I know that you're currently running a summer treatment program at the Florida campus dealing specifically with these callous, unemotional children. How do the parents typically feel about their children, and do they agree that they have these kinds of traits?
Yeah, so the parenting piece in general is a big mystery right now. The parents that I work with, I'm very clear to say that this is what this study is about, and here's the traits that we're studying, and here's why we're studying it, and that is that there's evidence that typical behavioral treatments, when you use rewards and punishments, may not work as well with kids with CU traits. So I'm very upfront with them, and I get many different reactions. And some parents say, absolutely, I can see right where you're coming from. And other times, the parents say, I don't see that that fits at all. And in fairness, my study has kids with more typical conduct problems, as well as kids with conduct problems and CU traits. And so some parents who I think their kids have CU traits, they will say, well, I know that you have some kids in this study who have these traits, but I don't think my kid is one of those kinds of kids.
Well, one of the interesting things about these kids is how manipulative they are. Apparently, they're able to even manipulate psychologists and therapists into believing that there's really nothing wrong with them, at least to the level that they're CU. How would you describe that kind of behavior?
Yeah, we definitely, you know, last summer was our pilot study, which meant kind of a small trial to just work out the procedures and try to learn what we could from a handful of kids, essentially. And we saw a lot of that. And that was one of the things that really struck me most last summer. You know, I've had probably 20 years of working in the same camp with ADHD and your typical conduct problem kids. So we see lots of very high rates of disruptive and serious behavior, pushing desks over and running around and screaming and throwing papers. That's not uncommon. And we saw that last summer with these kids as well. But what was different was that they had a level of being able to understand the rules and then use the rules to their advantage. So, for example, if we would say, if you have three or less timeouts in the next 2 hours, then you'll get points and that you can trade that in for a reward, they would get exactly three timeouts. Whereas other kids, they can't control the behavior that much. If we said you get five timeouts, then they would have five timeouts. So they had a real good ability to walk up to whatever line we were drawing in the sand, and then if it was to their advantage, stop there. Whereas you don't see that with your typical ADHD conduct problem kid.
I'm talking to Dr. Dan Washbush, a researcher at Florida International University, now conducting one of the very first studies into these callous, unemotional children, as they're described. Is that a fair assessment when you deal with these kids? Do you really get a sense that they really don't have any real empathy for others?
That's really hard to evaluate at this young age, and I'm more of a behavioral psychologist, so I tend to focus more on behavior. And that's something that I think our field is struggling with a lot, because you have these internal characteristics of the child, which is how are they feeling about their misbehavior, and that's a very hard thing to measure directly. Well, the way we do it right now is we've developed rating scales that we have parents and teachers complete, and if they're a little older, we have the kids complete them as well. I think what we need to do long run is we need to measure their physiology while they're doing different tasks. And there's been research on that that shows that that works very well, but it doesn't work very well for identifying kids for clinical purposes.
What about medication? I know for ADHD, kids are frequently prescribed Ritalin or Adderall. Do these medications seem to be effective with CU children?
That's another good mystery. So there's only been one study right now on kids, and that was a study we did 3 or 4 years ago. And what we showed was that when you give either a low or a higher dose of medication, it works for these kids just like it does for every other child with ADHD. And that is that they did better on a low dose of medication and they did modestly better on a higher dose of medication. Now, the weakness of that study was two things. All the kids in the study, by design, they had both ADHD and callous and emotional traits. And then the second one was we did this as an add-on study of ADHD, so our measures were designed to mostly pick up ADHD-type behaviors. So what it may have been showing was that the medication helped the ADHD in these kids but didn't really touch their callous and emotional-type behaviors.
Can you give me a little personal insight, though, on their manipulative abilities when you're dealing with these children directly? Do you ever feel that I'm being manipulated by an expert here?
Yeah, I can tell you that the counselors who work directly with them, so I oversee the children, but I don't provide the treatment, right? I hire graduate students and train them, and then they do it. And then I meet with them every night. And that was one theme that came up almost every day was, this child is doing this, and they're playing us. That was kind of the phrase that they used. And I think the example in the article is a very good one. So we had one camper who took a couple days off because their family went on vacation, and when the camper came back, there was all kinds of little toys that they brought with them. And then the camper was handing those out when other kids would misbehave. So it was manipulating our system and undermining our system by giving tangible toy rewards so that kids would like that more than getting the rewards we offer for good behavior.
Finally, when you look at disorders like ADHD or even autism, do you view CU the same way in the sense that there's no real way to fully heal the brain, but maybe there will be a way to manage this kind of a psychopathic tendency?
Well, I think when you get to adulthood, I am very skeptical you can change the trajectory. But when in kids, I don't think that's true at all. I think there is still hope that we can do a lot of good for these kids. And it really is, as the saying goes, it's never too early, it's never too late, when they're adolescents as well. We don't know what the treatment is, but one of the things that happened today because of the New York Times articles, I'm getting emails from people all over the country, including a number of people who said, I had these very traits and I got over them and I'm doing okay. Or parents who said, my kids had these traits and I worked really hard and my kids are now doing pretty well. So who knows if The way they perceive emotions and react to emotions will be the same as other people's, but at least we know that they can have a positive trajectory over time.
Do these kids generally, though, are they able to get the upper hand socially when it comes to other children without the disorder in the way that they don't really have, strong emotional responses and are generally calculated in their approach?
Yeah, I think that is kind of all over the map. I think there's some reason to believe that these kids might be the bullies, so that they will find a couple of kids who find it humorous to bully other kids, and so they won't necessarily be rejected because these other kids will kind of feed into their dominating and finding that funny kind of approach to life. But for the most of the kids, especially the ones who are getting bullied by them, they don't like them. So it's not that they're rejected per se, but they're certainly not popular. On the other hand, there's very little data about this, and some people have argued that because they can be manipulative and because they are can be smooth-talking and charming and so on, that maybe they're more popular than we realize.
Would it be fair to say, from what you understand, that your guess is that there are probably a handful of these children in every school in the country?
I would guess so, yeah. I mean, I would guess that the prevalence is probably 1 in 50 to 1 in 20, somewhere in there. And there's it's a trait instead of a disorder in some ways. So it's an approach to life in a lot of ways. And it doesn't necessarily mean that kids are going to go off track.
They're called callous, unemotional children. And Dr. Dan Washbush, a researcher at Florida International University, studying their behavior closely. And I'm guessing in the next several years, we'll certainly have more information on their behavior and potential treatments. Dan, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
And we're coming right back. I'm Michael Cohen. You are listening to More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.